This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing this program on June 24th of 2015. And if you are listening to the program live, we are also doing our Call a Lawyer Night, where you have a chance to talk with one of many attorneys off the air. I'll give you a couple of numbers, and then we'll go on to the program. We do this Call a Lawyer Night once a month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month, and we have topics such as workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, employment law, tax law, real estate, patent law, aviation law, and even we get into bankruptcy law. And that number, in case you're interested, is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Those attorneys are ready for you when you'd like to call in and talk with them off the air. Also, the National Board of Trial Advocacy has joined us, as I think you may know, in the last couple of months. And one of the specialists in civil trial practice is Jim Richardson. If you'd like to talk to him about civil trial practice, in case you have some question about a tort or a contract or fiduciary litigation, take down this number if you would. 512-940-1176. 512-940-1176. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, we're dealing with employment law, focusing, however, on same-sex marriage and employee benefit issues. My guests are Clarissa Kong, a director in the San Francisco law firm of Trucker Huss. My other guest is Julie Walensky, an attorney in the Oakland law firm of Lewis, Feinberg, Lee, and Jackson. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Well, I want to welcome Clarissa and Julie to the program. Thank you very much for joining us. Julie, let me pose the first question to you. How has same-sex marriage come up in the workplace?
Well, thanks, Chuck, for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here with you and Clarissa. Same-sex marriage comes up in the workplace most often in the context of employee benefits, whether it's health benefits, retirement benefits, leave from work, or other employment-related public benefits. Many of those benefits are conditioned on marital status, and that's where same-sex marriage comes up.
Is the case of Edith Windsor versus the U.S., or the U.S. versus Edith Windsor, is that where we get this going on, Clarissa?
Yes. And so in the Windsor case, which was decided by the Supreme Court in June of 2013, the Supreme Court struck down a section of the Defense of Marriage Act, and it was the section that defined marriage and spouse for the purposes of federal statutes and regulations to mean only an opposite-sex marriage and an opposite-sex spouse. The impact on employee benefits was federal recognition of same-sex marriage, which then gave the rights of same-sex spouses to certain employee benefits.
And before Windsor, that was not the case. Is that correct?
Employee benefit plans could choose to give benefits required of spouses to same-sex spouses. They mm-hmm. could choose to recognize
if the employer had designed that in the contract with the employee. Is that correct?
Yes, but what was the shift in the Windsor case was that after Windsor, benefits that were required to be provided to spouses under federal law needed to be provided equally to same-sex married couples mm-hmm. as well as opposite-sex mm-hmm. married couples.
Mm-hmm.
And what is in the news today is everyone's watching the Supreme Court's next move on same-sex relationships, and we are watching and waiting for the decision in Obergefell versus Hodges. It could come out tomorrow morning. And
it could. There's some indication that it will come out tomorrow morning.
Well,
June 25th, we think.
Well, it's one of the decision days for the Supreme Court. It could come out tomorrow, mm-hmm. Friday, Monday, or Tuesday. But, I think people were looking for a decision this past Monday. So, mm-hmm. Really could come out soon. But that decision while it could possibly result in nationwide equal access to marriage, it probably wouldn't change the existing law in employee benefits.
Because that, employee benefits really relates to what happened in U.S. v. Windsor.
Yes. So the change happened in U.S. versus Windsor in terms of federal law needed to then recognize that same-sex married couples would have spousal rights that were mandated under federal law.
And we will, on your legal rights, we will, once the decision comes down, whether it comes down or not, and everyone believes that the Supreme Court will issue its decision in Obergefell versus Hodges, the same-sex marriage case, everyone believes that it will come down before the end of this month. Whether it does or not, we will be discussing the issues of same-sex marriage, the constitutional issues, in early August on that. I will have a constitutional law professor. I'll have a certified specialist in family law and perhaps a third attorney to discuss that. Let me come to you, Julie, on this. We have in California the registered domestic partners, where people who may not have, well, obviously didn't get married under California law, they were able to, under California law, register as domestic partners. And what's the situation with employee benefits there?
So California offers right now to same-sex couples the option to enter into a registered domestic partnership or enter into a same-sex marriage. And registered domestic partnerships are also available to opposite-sex couples where one person in the couple is 62 or older.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the changes in federal law that affect federal employee benefits impact only same-sex couples who are legally married.
Ah.
But benefits that are governed by California law apply equally to registered domestic partners and same-sex spouses. So under California law, registered domestic partners are required to be treated identically to married spouses in terms of all the rights and responsibilities that come with being married under California state law. So in the context of benefits, it's very important to figure out what law governs the particular benefit, whether it's federal law or whether it's state law.
Well, if it's, can you give us an example with respect to what might be the difficulty under federal law with registered domestic partners?
Sure.
Please.
So the Supreme Court in Windsor made very clear that it was only dealing with same-sex marriages, not any other form of relationship such as registered domestic partners.
Yes.
Or civil unions. And so in terms of federal law, for example, for tax purposes, someone who's in a registered domestic partnership in California, that person is considered single for federal purposes, for federal tax law, but can file as registered domestic partners or married under state law. So that couple would file a joint state tax return under California law, but single returns under federal returns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about Social Security?
So Social Security is one area of federal law that does recognize certain non-marital legal relationships. And this was a clarification that the Social Security Administration made since Windsor, in that Social Security Administration recognizes certain relationships as equivalent to married if the state law allows the claimant to inherit from his or her partner on the same terms that a spouse could inherit. Mm-hmm. So a registered domestic partner in California would be entitled to get survivor benefits for his or her spouse.
I see. All right. Anything further with respect to domestic partnerships that we should know about? Okay. What I want to do at this point, because we are doing, as I announced at the top of the program, we're doing this program on June 24th. It's a live program, not only the Bay Area, it's live on the internet, it's live on the public radio satellite. But we have usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month a Call a Lawyer night, and I'm going to give that number in just a moment. All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night, and if you would like to talk to any one of our attorneys off the air, the number is 1-800-525-9917 1-800-525-9917. And that includes workers' compensation, criminal law, legal malpractice law, employment law, tax law, real estate law, patent law, aviation law, lemon law. And tomorrow, I will let you know a little bit later in the program. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this program live, Leon Baer will be available to talk with you about bankruptcy law. And I'll give you that number in a little bit later in the program. Also, as the first time that the National Board of Trial Advocacy has joined us for Call a Lawyer Night, Jim Richardson, who's a civil trials specialist, will be available to talk to you between now and, let's say, the next 50 minutes. He's in Texas, and he'll talk to you about civil litigation if you'd like to talk with him about civil litigation, whether it's torts, contracts, fiduciary litigation, etc. His phone number is 512-940-1176, 512-940-1176. All right, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on employee benefits. This is a very complicated area of the law, I think. My guests are Julie Walensky. She's an attorney in the Oakland law firm of Lewis, Feinberg, Lee & Jackson, and Calissa Kong, a director in the San Francisco law firm of Crooker Huss. I want to turn now to another question, if we can. What rights, and to you, Julie, if you would, what rights under the health plans exist for spouses, and how does that change or not for same-sex spouses?
So there's several different frameworks of law that govern health plans. The first is ERISA, and that's the federal law that governs employee benefits. And ERISA doesn't require that health plans provide coverage to any spouses, whether they're opposite sex or same sex. So there's no right under ERISA for spousal coverage for same-sex spouses. But different states can also regulate insurance law, and they can regulate health plans that are funded by insurance. So in California, the insurance law, which regulates health insurance plans, that requires that plans that provide benefits to spouses who are opposite-sex spouses also need to provide coverage to same-sex spouses and registered domestic partners. And so that covers a lot of employees who are in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are also issues that come up where there are going to be employees who are in health plans that are not required by federal employee benefits law or by state insurance law to cover same-sex spouses. And one example is what's called self-funded plans. And those are usually very large employers that have these huge employee health plans that are funded by the employer rather than by the purchase of insurance. And so those plans are not required by state insurance law or by federal employee benefits law to provide health insurance to same-sex spouses. But same-sex spouses who are not covered, employees of those companies might have claims of sex discrimination against their employers, because the argument is that the discrimination based on sex is written right into the terms of the plan, where the plan specifies that only opposite-sex spouses are covered and not same-sex spouses.
Let me then throw this one to you, if I may. Do you think that the Supreme Court's decision, assuming that it is supportive of same-sex marriage under the Constitution in the Obergefell versus Hodges case, do you think if the Supreme Court comes out with its decision supporting same-sex marriage, which, as I presume, will cover all same-sex marriages throughout the country, will that make a difference in self-funded plans, do you think?
I think it will make a difference in the sense that it would be very laborious for a plan that operates in a state that is then that would result. Well, if the Supreme Court's decision results in nationwide marriage equality, then there will no longer be distinctions in state law as to who is a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So under that circumstance, it would be hard to imagine an employer that would say spouse is only your opposite-sex spouse but not your same-sex spouse, even in the state that permits same-sex marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think there would be a shift there.
Do you see anything on that one, Clarissa?
Well, I think that where you've got a... assuming a Supreme Court decision in favor of nationwide recognition of same-sex marriage, as well as access to same-sex marriage around the country, you'd have greater access to health and welfare benefits, where you've got, you know, many more couples that are able to obtain health plan coverage for a same-sex spouse, whereas, you know, in a under the current law, it's a state-by-state decision as to whether same-sex marriage is legally recognized.
All right. What other issues might there be with respect to, let's say, health plans? Are there other issues that you feel you want to let the listeners know about?
Sure. One issue is that plans that are governed by ERISA, they need to follow their own terms. And so if a health plan says that spouses are covered and it doesn't define spouse in a way that limits it to opposite-sex spouse, then the plan has to cover all spouses. And that has come up in contexts where employers might not realize that their plan covers same-sex spouses and will initially deny coverage, but when you actually look at the terms of the plan, they can be read to require coverage of all spouses, regardless of whether they're same-sex or opposite-sex.
So if there is an employer who where ERISA is involved, and the employer is not providing the coverage to their employees, if someone is saying, well, this is discrimination, they're discriminating against me because I'm in a same-sex marriage situation or whatever, it's going to be very, very difficult for an employee to take on a big lawsuit against a bigger employer. What comments do you have? What should, if that is the situation, what should that person or those persons do if the employer is just ignoring what the law may be?
Well, to, in terms of what an employee could do, the first step, at least in an employment, a federal employment discrimination claim under Title VII, would be to file a charge with the EEOC. And the EEOC, in fact, has encountered...
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
That's right.
Okay.
And the EEOC has been receiving such charges. One example is there was an EEOC charge in... an EEOC charge involving Walmart's employee benefits plan, where and Walmart has since changed its plan, but for a period of time before January 1st of 2014, Walmart was limiting its benefits only to opposite-sex spouses. And the EEOC recently, in the last 6 months, issued a determination of finding reasonable cause of discrimination because the employee was denied coverage for her spouse based on her sex. If she had been a man, she would have been able to cover her female spouse.
So now Walmart now is in line, is it, with the law?
Walmart has changed its plan to provide the coverage.
Okay. Any other issue in that area? No? Okay. Clarissa, any comments you have about this? About this area of the health plan benefits?
No, and you know, what I was hoping maybe to get to was some of the retirement plan benefits.
All right. We're going to come back to the retirement plan benefits in just a moment. It's our Call a Lawyer night, and we have a number of attorneys here. I hope you're calling in. I can't tell. I don't see the attorneys on the phones. That's what I don't like. I want you to have an opportunity to talk with them. The number is 1-800-525-9917. If you have a question on workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, employment law, tax law, real estate law, patent law, lemon law, arbitration law, and tomorrow one of the certified specialists in bankruptcy law will be available, and I'll give you that phone number in just a few minutes. But for right now, this live program, June 24th, the number is 1-800-525-9917. If you have a civil litigation question and would like to talk with someone who's a specialist in civil trial litigation through the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and that's Jim Richardson, he's waiting for your call. He'll be there for another about 40 minutes, 512-940-1176. 512-940-1176. This is Your Legal Rights. We're talking about employee benefits. We've been talking about U.S. v. Windsor. We've also been talking about a case that's going to come out very soon, possibly even tomorrow morning, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Obergefell versus Hodges, the same-sex marriage case. And my guests are two very experienced young attorneys, but they seem to know what they're talking about. Clarissa Kung, a director in the San Francisco law firm of Trecker Huss, and Julie Walensky, an attorney in the Oakland law firm of Lewis Feinberg, Lee and Jackson. And for those of you who are listening to us live on June 24th, I will be giving you our toll-free number in just a few minutes, and you can call in and speak with Julie and Clarissa. And I'm going to come back to you, Clarissa, right now. What about retirement benefits? What spousal rights are now required for same-sex spouses that perhaps were not available before?
Good question. Thanks, Chuck. There are significant rights given to spouses under retirement plans. And one thing in terms of the law that governs, it's different from health plans because the insurance code, the state insurance code, really has nothing to do with retirement plans. It more is governed by the Internal Revenue Code, your federal tax code, and a statute called ERISA, and that's an acronym for the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And because these are federal laws, the U.S. versus Windsor case, that decision was so significant, especially in the field of retirement plan benefits. So spousal rights come up in the context of various life events for an employee, retirement, death, and divorce. So where in a pre-Windsor era, same-sex spouses may not have had, I mean, some plans could provide it, may not have had a right to a spousal annuity. So an annuity would be a payment, periodic payment for the life of the spouse after, say, the employee who is the member of the plan, the participant in the plan, dies. Mm-hmm. That was mandated for spouses pre-Windsor, but under federal law, same-sex spouses were not deemed to be spouses. And in the context of, say, a traditional pension plan, the default form of benefit was this survivor annuity. It's a joint and joint survivor annuity. So it would be an annuity for the lifetime of the employee, the participant. When that participant died and if they had a surviving spouse, that benefit would be paid to the surviving spouse at death of the employee. And what was so significant post-Windsor was that now a same-sex spouse would receive that survivor benefit.
Go ahead.
And so those are for your traditional pension plans. So another benefit that has been changed after the Windsor decision has to do with let's talk about 401k plans. So that's another form of retirement plan that's pretty common. And it's a benefit is paid to a retiring participant employee that could be the participant's vested account balance. So it could be paid out to a participant spouse upon the participant's death. So this is another form of death benefit.
Can you give us a simple example about that?
Sure. Possibly. So you are an employee, your employer has a 401k plan, and you put aside a certain percentage of your paycheck, every paycheck.
Yes.
You put it into your 401k plan, and you become vested. So that account is there for you when you retire.
Yes.
Say you die. You're the participant, the employee. You die, and you're married at the point of you have a spouse. Then
okay.
The spouse would be entitled to a benefit from the plan, as a spousal benefit. Pre-Windsor, that benefit was not available or not mandated to be available to a same-sex spouse.
I see.
It's clear now after Windsor that that needs to be provided to a same-sex spouse.
All right. Any other issues with respect to the retirement benefits that you'd like to present at this point?
Yes. So where you have marriage, you also have termination of marriage. Mm-hmm. You have divorce. And in the course of a divorce, things like retirement benefits could be divided. And the way to divide that is through a domestic relations order. That's a state court order that divides a benefit. And that order then is given to the retirement plan to see if it satisfies all of the requirements under federal law to be recognized and to actually divide the benefit. Where you had a same-sex married couple that then went through a divorce, it wasn't always clear that the non-employee spouse could obtain a benefit through what's called a quadro. It's a domestic relations order that's qualified. Because, of course, under federal law prior to Windsor, the same-sex spouse didn't qualify as a spouse. But could qualify for a division of the benefit as some other form of dependent. But now, since Windsor, a participant same-sex spouse must be recognized as a spouse and then could obtain through the domestic relations order process a division of a benefit.
And the domestic relations order process is through the court. Through the court in certainly in California, and I presume the same thing in other states now, that it's, because Windsor is something that is covering the entire United States.
Yes, that's right. So if you're in a same-sex married situation and there is a divorce and you go to court and obtain a domestic relations order that divides a retirement benefit, a same-sex married couple could actually get the division done where the spouse is deemed a spouse or former spouse in that context.
So Windsor has really has been an incredible decision which has helped same-sex people in marriages in so many areas that you've talked about so far. All right. It is, this is Your Legal Rights. I want to give you our on-air, non-expensive phone call, toll-free number for you if you'd like to talk to my guests on the air. It's 866. This is toll-free, by the way, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255 if you would like to call and speak to my guests on the air. And they are Julie Walensky, an attorney in the Oakland law firm of Lewis, Feinberg, Lee & Jackson, and Clarissa Kong, a director in the San Francisco law firm of Trucker Huss. Again, that number, toll-free 866-798-8255. Let me tell you who we have for our call a lawyer, because we have a number of attorneys here. And for workers' compensation law, certified specialist Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Criminal law, Jeff Hayden, certified specialist in criminal law. Jeff is the president of the San Mateo County Bar Association. For legal malpractice law, certified specialist Peter Fortune. For employment law, Bruce Bernstein. For tax law, real estate, and also he's a real estate broker, Frank Adam. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB, arbitration. BBB stands for Better Business Bureau Arbitration, Ron Rohde. And tomorrow, between 8 a.m. and noon, tomorrow by that I mean June 25th, Leon Bayer will be available at his 800 number, 1-800-477-3111, to discuss with you potential bankruptcy if you're being hounded by your creditors. Again, 1-800-477-3111. One of the things that I want to mention to you about this is that Call a Lawyer, this is a gift that these attorneys make to you. They come to the station. They want to provide a service to you. This is a public service, no obligation on your part whatsoever. It is something that they feel they want to provide to the community. So don't be bashful. 1-800-525-9917. And in Texas right now, the local chair of the National Board of Trial Advocacy, Jim Richardson, is available to talk with you in the next half hour on June 24th. On his phone, 540-1176, 512-940-1176. Jim Richardson is certified as a civil trial specialist. If you have questions about business torts or contract disputes or fiduciary litigation or other civil litigation, he's waiting for your call now at 512-940-1176. And by the way, I don't want you to be bashful. If you have general questions about employment law, please call in to the station here on our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. And if you are in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced and set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. With rare exception, throughout California, the cost for a half an hour consultation with an attorney through lawyer referral is anywhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service as a consumer service. So it's a great way for you to get some basic information about a problem that you may have. And for those of you who may have employment law questions or benefit questions that we've been talking about, please take advantage of the fact that my guests will be here for another probably 20-some-odd minutes, and I'd like you to take advantage with your question, your comment, your concern by calling the toll-free number 866-798-8255. Now, there are some questions that remain unanswered for same-sex spouses and employee benefits. What are the real life examples of those, Julie?
Well, there's a bunch of issues that have come up and a few questions that remain unanswered. One of the issues that has come up, although it is very rare, is the issue of whether the Supreme Court's decision in Windsor is retroactive. And what I'm referring to there is for people who are in a same-sex marriage before Windsor, and because of some life event triggered either with a retirement plan or someone passed away, and then the plan denied a spousal benefit, whether Windsor applies retroactively. And so there are a few cases out there pending in litigation, which I can give an example of. There's a case pending against FedEx where I and other attorneys at my office and other attorneys represent the plaintiff in that case, but it involves the same-sex surviving spouse of a Federal Express employee who died 6 days before Windsor. Mm-hmm. And she had earned a pension plan over the course of her many years of employment. And because the death happened before Windsor, FedEx has refused to pay the pension benefit to their surviving same-sex spouse.
And in Windsor, there was no discussion about retroactivity at all, obviously. Is that correct?
That's correct, Chuck. Yeah, there wasn't any explicit discussion, but there is law supporting the argument, and it's law from the Supreme Court and other courts in general that when the Supreme Court announces a new rule of law, which was the case in Windsor that Section 3 of DOMA is unconstitutional, that that rule of law, when it's applied retroactively to the parties before it, which was also the case in Windsor because the death of Ms. Windsor happened several years before the decision, mm-hmm. then it needs to be applied retroactively to all facts and events that predated the decision.
Well, certainly in U.S. v. Windsor, it did apply retroactively mm-hmm. because, and correct me if I'm wrong, because Edith Windsor was faced with, upon the death of her spouse, several hundred thousand dollars that she would have to come up with. Is that right?
Right. It had to do with estate taxes
yeah, yeah.
on the death of her
and
spouse.
And so that has now been corrected because of the Windsor decision.
Yes.
So that was obviously did apply retroactively.
Yes.
All right. I want to take some calls right now, and I'm hoping that we will get somebody on the air with us. It's very important that we give you the opportunity to call in and be on the air with my guests here if you have a question either about benefits or just regular employment law issues. The number here is, and this is the toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Call a Lawyer Night is 1-800-525-9917 for the attorneys in the studio, or actually in the conference room here at the station. And if you have a question about civil trial litigation, Jim Richardson, who is a specialist through the National Board of Trial Advocacy in Texas, he's down in Texas waiting for you and for the next 25 minutes or so. His number is 512-940-1176. So as soon as we find out who is calling in and would like to talk with my guests on the air, we will find that out. The phones are blinking here, but I'm not finding out who's on the phone, and we need to get going on this. You are expecting, I think, and I've been anticipating this for quite some time, that Obergefell versus Hodges. This is the case that's been before the Supreme Court now for a while, anticipating that the Supreme Court's decision will come down tomorrow or certainly before the end of this month. And that will determine whether or not same-sex marriage, wherever you are in the United States, will be honored under federal law. Is that correct?
Well, there are two
Clarissa?
Questions. There are
yeah,
two
please.
Questions.
Yeah.
That the Supreme Court is poised and ready and hopefully going to decide. The first question is whether the Constitution requires a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex. The other question is whether the Constitution requires a state to recognize same-sex marriages that are from other jurisdictions,
yes.
even if the state
doesn't. Okay.
State where the couple resides doesn't allow same-sex marriage. So, you know, we could have a decision where the Supreme Court answers maybe the second of those questions, but not, you know, and maybe declines or decides that the access to marriage question, the first question.
So we could have further suspense on this. That's what you're saying. Possibly. And I hope not. I hope we get something that's helpful. All right, Carmen, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, I work for a company that has an HR department, and all the retirement benefits and HR benefits are online, and then they have an 800 number. So I've called the 800 number a couple times, and they're not really able to answer all my questions. And so I was wondering, is there a law that says that a big corporation has to accommodate you? If they have an HR department that they have to, if you request to have an appointment to go over your retirement benefits, that they have to accommodate you, or can they just say, oh, just go look online?
No, that's a very good question. Any comments from either of you on this?
Well, I can think of a couple things that might help you, Carmen. There are certain rights that you would have as an employee to get copies of your benefit plans. So benefit plans are memorialized in written documents, and you as an employee participant in these plans would be able to ask for copies of them if you don't already have them. Sometimes that can help you answer questions that you might have that maybe you're not finding online or through the 1-800 number.
Is it your understanding, Carmen, with what you're being told by the HR person or persons that you've spoken with, that supposedly the plan is all online, all of the language of the plan is online, or not?
Well, that's what I understand, but I think I think I'm just being avoided, you know, like pushed to one number to another number kind of thing, and yeah. And there's no direct number to HR.
Mm.
And
what city do you work in?
Santa Clara.
You know, Carmen, I want you to know I designed this program 31 years ago to educate consumers about their rights and obligations. The program was not designed to employ attorneys, even though I am an attorney. I'm a consumer advocate. And what I think you should do at this point, since you're not getting anywhere with the HR office, I would mm-hmm. suggest that you call the Santa Clara County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service, see uh-huh. if you can't get an appointment with an attorney who, an employment law attorney who represents employees for a half an hour mm-hmm. consultation. Mm-hmm. You probably won't pay more than $35, and maybe that will help you get a little bit further than you've gotten so far. I think it's worth it to you to go yeah. into that, to take that approach.
Okay, that's good advice.
And I think if you can, is the plan that you have online, can you print that out?
Yes.
Why don't you do that? I suggest you print out the plan. How long is the plan? How many pages would you say?
It's
about 50. That's a lot. Rather than hit an attorney in a half an hour consultation with 50 pages of documents, I would start with the first half hour of just saying, here's my problem. I'm trying to get some answers here, and I'm just avoided, and see what the attorney has to say, and maybe that will get you going to the next step.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, Carmen, thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Rudy.
Bye-bye.
Rudy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
My question's regarding my stepfather and his coworker. Both worked in a private estate, and my stepfather worked for 14 years. His coworker worked for 23 years for this family. And I'm wondering if the California has any mandatory retirement laws for people who are on who have been on salary for compensation once they've been the estate was sold, and so they were basically both made unemployed, and they're both naturalized citizens. So I wonder if you can answer.
Was your stepfather also were contributions being made to Social Security for your stepfather?
Through this employment, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any comments for Rudy with respect to any mandatory retirement program?
Well, I'm not aware of any mandatory retirement program in California, but one thing to consider would be what the terms of employment were with the employer, whether your stepfather entered into a contract or whether there were what his understanding of the terms of his employment were.
There were verbal agreements made that there would be retirement.
Oh, there were?
Nothing came through.
There were representations that there would be retirement benefits for your stepfather?
Yes, from the employer to both my stepfather and his coworker.
How long ago? Your stepfather, what are we talking about now? Now, is your stepfather still alive, I presume?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
When did he lose his job?
He just lost it in December.
Okay, so this is current. Again, and where does your stepfather live, Rudy?
He was living in San Mateo County, but because of the financial changes, he had to move to Stockton.
And where was the employer located?
in Woodside, California.
Are they still around?
They're still in California. Mm-hmm.
Still in California, not necessarily in Woodside, California?
No. Mm-mm.
They are not. I think that it would be wise, and again, where's your stepfather living now? Stockton?
In Stockton. Mm-hmm.
I think it would be wise for your stepfather to really start with, I think the lawyer referral service in the county where Stockton is located, and start with calling the lawyer referral office and saying, here's my problem. I'd like to have an initial consultation. I think this is something that your stepfather is going to have many steps to take, mm-hmm. in terms. But if there were representations made to your stepfather that we will put together for you, and you will have a retirement program, and he relied on that. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a basis here to sue these people. But I think what your stepfather is he someone who can be aggressive on his own part?
No,
that's the problem.
You know, he's a naturalized citizen. He's hard of hearing now,
dear.
And he's just kind of ready to just turn over a new page, although, you know, his life has really changed dramatically.
How responsible are you for him, if at all?
Just emotionally responsible.
Emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And you live where, Rudy?
I live in Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would suggest, if I may suggest this to you, In light of the fact, the way you have described your stepfather, who is ready now apparently not to do anything, mm-hmm. and yet you're concerned about him, I would suggest, if you would, are you employed?
No, self-employed.
You're self-employed. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that you might want to call the Alameda County Bar Association.
Okay.
Lawyer Referral Service. I'll give you the phone number in a minute. And that you, as the stepdaughter, take some initiative on your part to try to help your stepfather by seeing if you can find out something from an attorney who does work in. What would you say? What kind of an attorney should she ask for? Can you give us an idea? Would it be an employment law attorney? I think an employment law attorney, Rudy, who represents employees. And call the Alameda County Bar Association and ask to be contacted with the Lawyer Referral Service, which is, you know, someone in the office there, and see if you can't get an appointment to meet with an employment law attorney who represents employees, and at the very least have, well, since you're in Berkeley, maybe you can have a face-to-face appointment with the attorney, or maybe if since you're self-employed, perhaps it's inconvenient for you. Maybe you can work out something where you can have a telephone conference with an employment law attorney. Here's the phone number. But I would suggest, as the stepdaughter, you might want to take this initiative.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Here's the phone number, 510-302-2222. 510-302-2222. You might be able to find out something very helpful for your stepfather, and then kind of with some nudging on your part, mm-hmm. Of your stepfather, get him to start thinking about, well, gee, hey, they represented this to me. They haven't come forward. They really, in effect, have cheated him,
mm-hmm.
and consider perhaps filing a lawsuit against these people.
Okay, super.
Good luck
really
to you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much
for your advice.
Yeah, take care.
Okay.
Don't let it go.
No.
Try to do it quickly if you can.
Yes.
This is Your Legal Rights, and we are, by the way, on the public radio satellite in the last couple of months through the funding of the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And I'm very pleased. We are with the National Board of Trial Advocacy's help trying to build other stations throughout the country to take the program so that education on the law, even though we may talk frequently about California law, may be of help to other people throughout the United States. We also do national law from time to time, and so that's what we're doing here. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chuck. This isn't a personal question, but I was wondering if your guests might shed some light on this struggle with the Uber workers, whether they're employees or independent contractors.
I think they have the latest determination I have heard of, and I can't remember where it came down. It was yesterday that I heard it. Is it's been determined that they are employees and not private contractors.
Interesting.
Yeah, and something else has come up now that is not so helpful. And I heard this, and I don't know exactly what the source is, but I heard it on NPR that now in some area the drivers are going to have to be fingerprinted, which is not being perhaps terribly well accepted by some people. On the other hand, the philosophy is we want the passengers of these vehicles to make sure that they're being protected and not with someone who's perhaps has a criminal record, et cetera. Do either of you, Clarissa or Julie, have any thoughts or any knowledge about the Uber worker situation? No. Okay.
No.
I think, John, what you might want to do is Google this.
Mm-hmm.
Google it, because I heard yesterday that there was a decision.
Wow.
I can't tell you what public office it was, that it's been determined these are employees,
wow,
not independent contractors. So Google it. I'm sure you'll find something.
All right. Thank you much.
Anything else on that? No?
Well, I'm just, you know, it seems like that's a pretty big, that'll change the Uber's whole approach.
It probably will.
Yeah.
It probably will, and hopefully for the better.
That's right.
Yeah. John, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
But Google that. Google that. I think you'll find something on that as of what I recall was yesterday. All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night. We still have attorneys, and what I see is I'd like to see them on the phones, not standing up talking to each other. The number is 1-800-525-9917 for Call a Lawyer. And by the way, if you are being hounded by creditors, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, very gracious with his time, will be available tomorrow. That's Thursday, June 25th, from 8 a.m. to noon, California time. His number is 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. No obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a public service that Leon Baer performs. If you call and you get a busy signal, or just, I should say, voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say you are calling because you are listening to Your Legal Rights and are calling to talk with Leon Baer. Again, his number, 1-800-477-3111. We have a few more minutes of Call a Lawyer with the attorneys in the station here, 1-800-525-9917. And I think Jim Richardson, who's the specialist in civil trial work, Jim in Florida, will be there for a few minutes more. He's certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. His number, 512-940-1176. 512-940-1176. We have about another 4 minutes or so of the program. Are there some final thoughts that you might want to present to the listeners, starting with you, Julie?
Sure. When we were talking earlier about the potential impact of the Supreme Court's decision that is expected to come down soon, I want to emphasize there are a lot of areas governing employment that are governed by state law in the states that will be affected if the result is that the Constitution requires marriage equality nationwide. And one example is a lot of the public employees in the states that currently do not recognize or provide same-sex marriages. And so for all those employees, they might be considered married at the federal level, but not at the state level. And that would include many benefits provided by state law in those states.
All right. Very good. Clarissa?
You know, one of the interesting things about employee benefits is that it is very complex. And I think what Julie and I discussed today really just skims the surface. I mean, there's a lot more detail to it.
I mean, we have I know both of there are so many issues. We have only just really touched upon it. But go ahead, please.
And one thing that was interesting on the issue of retroactivity, after the Windsor decision, the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, had issued guidance for employee benefit plans, and basically some guidance as to how to implement changes after Windsor. And employee benefit plans, retirement plans, are required to reflect the outcome of Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
So recognize same-sex marriages as of the date of the Windsor decision for certain plans, but then certainly by September of 2013 to have recognized it for marriages based on whether the marriage was entered into a state that does recognize same-sex marriage. Now, in the world of benefits, IRS guidance relates to what plans must do, and it may protect the plan as to the tax qualification of the plan. What's interesting in the lawsuits is that participants, so employees, could still bring claims against the plans, even if the plans do everything that they're required to under IRS guidance, which is a little strange in our area, but that's how some of the litigation cases are shaking out.
So we'll see. There are more. We haven't covered all of the issues. We don't have all of the answers, and it will be interesting to see what's going to happen in terms of Obergefell versus Hodges, which may well be coming down tomorrow or sometime before the end of this month. I want to thank you both very much for joining us. This is a very complicated, very interesting area, and thank you for trying to make it as uncomplicated for us as possible. Clarissa Kong, director in the San Francisco law firm of Tucker Huss, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Julie.
And Julie Walensky, an attorney in the Oakland law firm of Lewis Feinberg, Lee & Jackson. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding for the program is provided by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, by the San Mateo County Bar Association, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Next week, we'll be talking about an update of workers' compensation laws and issues. My guests will be Lester Friedman, Management Chair of the California Applicants Attorneys Association, Jason Marcus, the Secretary Officer of the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and Alice O'Sullivan, Director of the National Board of Trial Advocacy. All of my guests are certified specialists in the area of workers' compensation law. I hope you have enjoyed this program and will join us next week for Your Legal Rights on this public radio satellite station.